Hey guys, and welcome to Money, a podcast devoted to all things money, how to get it, how to grow it, and how to keep it. I'm your host, Stacy Johnson. This podcast is brought to you by MoneyTalksNews.com, serving up the best in personal finance news and advice since 1991. My co-host is money expert Miranda Marquette from MirandaMarquette.com. Hi, Miranda.
Hey.
And we also have today a special guest, Pam Kruger, CEO of WealthRamp and host of the popular PBS series Money Track. Say hi, Pam.
Hello, both of you.
Great, Tim. So glad to have you here. Miranda, what are we going to talk to Pam about today?
Yeah, so sometimes we all need help making plans. A good financial advisor can help you make the most of your money. But how do you know who's the right fit? So we're excited to have Pam here to help us navigate these waters and tell you how you can find the financial match made in heaven.
Hi, everyone. Aaron here. Could you use an extra $991? Yeah, I sure could. $991. Believe it or not, that is the average amount our newsletter subscribers report saving every year. Our totally free Money Talks newsletter is stuffed with actionable advice and tips to help boost your savings and slash your expenses. It only takes 2 seconds to subscribe. Just go to MoneyTalksNews.com. You'll see the sign up right there on the homepage. Do it now, and you'll also get a free ebook, 208 Ways to Save Money Every Day. I've used this book. It's great. That alone is a $15 value. So let's recap. $991 to gain, nothing to lose. Subscribe right now at MoneyTalksNews.com. That's MoneyTalksNews.com. I'll also put that link in our show notes. Sign up now. You'll be glad you did.
Awesome. Now, before we begin, my dad joke of the week. My wife bought me a refrigerator for my birthday. She said she couldn't wait to see my face light up when I opened it.
That's what I actually like. As far as funny jokes go, I kind of like this one.
That's funny because I think this is one of my worst jokes. I hate it.
I think it's a great play on the fact that so often, you know, in the past, like men have thought, oh, getting my wife an appliance that helps her do her so-called women's work better. I just like this.
I mean, does everything have to be looked at through this women's movement thing? I mean, geez.
Well, I mean, you know, sometimes. Anyway, I love this idea of, you know, the refrigerator.
Okay, fine. Well, I'm glad you guys liked it. I kind of hated it, but I put it in there.
I laughed at your joke, Stacey. I thought it was funny.
You're just doing that to be a good guest, Pam.
No, I really did. I laughed.
Okay, cool. Okay.
You did laugh. It sounded genuine.
You can't tell. Anyway, let's get to show on the road. We've only got 30 minutes, guys. We only have 28 minutes left. Let's do the thing. Okay, so Pam, here's the deal. Let me tell you a little bit about Pam. First of all, I've known Pam for 30 years. Not real well, but we met a long time ago, both doing syndicated television news, really competing against each other, I guess. And we went kind of separate ways. I'm still doing TV news. Pam went a better way. She went to PBS and did a series there. Is that still on, Pam? It is.
You know what? This past weekend, a friend of mine here in town said, hey, Pam, I really enjoyed your show this past weekend on Saturday. And I said, what do you mean? The show has been off. It's been on pause and in repeats for a long time. But apparently the Rhode Island PBS station ended up airing it a repeat this past weekend. And guess what the topic was?
Oh, with this?
Fiduciary financial advisors.
Cool.
So okay, I was really surprised. But yeah, I'll be putting the show back on the air in about 18 to 24 months. So, cool. You know, I'll let you know beforehand.
Awesome. I actually am still doing television, but I'm going to stop doing it soon because I wanted to get out of it before HD came in. And now it's 4K and I'm 65 and I'm just not going to get in front of a camera anymore. I'm just not going to do it.
Don't you dare say that. You know, I was a huge fan. I mean, truly, Miranda, I met Stacy. I think it was probably around 1990, 1991.
It was.
That's how old we are.
We are old. Stop. And Miranda at that time was in elementary school.
Oh, God.
We do this every week.
Nice.
So anyway, let's get on our topic before everyone stops listening to us. Okay, our topic is how to pick a financial advisor. Why is Pam an expert? Because Pam is the CEO of a company called WealthRamp, which helps hook you up to a fiduciary financial advisor. Before we go any further, what's fiduciary, Pam? What does it mean?
Okay, fiduciary is a word that is so overused, but really all it means is that you are held to a standard that says that you as an advisor must put your client's best interests ahead of your own interests. And we like to think of this as a legal standard, not just a frame of mind.
Wait a minute now. Why would I go to an advisor who didn't put my needs ahead of theirs? Isn't that why I'm going to an advisor? Who wouldn't do that?
90% of advisors, 90% of consumers. We've been served up. I've been in this industry since I was 24, in the wealth management financial advisor space since I was 24. So I came from the brokerage industry. This is, you know, a multi-billion dollar machine that is all about sales. So the advisors who work for the brokerage firms and insurance companies these days, we weren't called financial advisors, Stacey. Remember way back then, Miranda?
Yes, I do.
Might have been too young. We were called stockbrokers. Okay. We were brokers. We were not advisors. And then in the last 10 years, suddenly all the brokerage firm sales reps, which is what we really were, sales representatives working on behalf of the brokerage firm for the brokerage firm. So therefore our true fiduciary loyalty lies with whom? The brokerage firm, because that's who we work for. We don't work for the client directly.
But we sure implied we worked for that client directly, didn't we?
Well, the intentions are, you know, mostly good, but the system is set up so that it's just the opposite. It becomes perverse, because what happens if you go to an advisor, quote unquote, who works at a brokerage firm, could be the nicest person in the world. Come on. Some of our best friends are still working at brokerage firms. But at the end of the day, you guys know that they have a quota. They need to make sales. They really need to put the needs of the brokerage firm ahead of, you know, whether or not, you know, one investment's going to pay a bigger commission than another investment. And that doesn't mean that the advisor is going to choose wrong on purpose or wrong every time, but you're not incentivized to make sure that the client's needs are really being met and really being, you know, that the client's going to have an outstanding experience. Your first concern is, I got to make sure that I really sell enough this month. This investment is not going to hurt Stacy. So I'm going to go ahead and suggest it. Versus when a client goes to an advisor who's independent, who is paid by a fee that only the client pays, so they work only indirectly for the client, totally different story. Because then my alliance and my loyalty is completely to you, Stacy, the client. I have to listen to what you really need, and I have to try to offer up the least expensive type of an investment or a strategy or a financial plan. And I need to be completely transparent, because we're going to come back to that fiduciary notion right now. Because an independent advisor who's outside a brokerage firm and working independently answers to the SEC or the state regulators, they require the fiduciary standard be the legal standard to which they are held. So that means they really have to put your best interest first. Does that make sense?
It does. Well, Miranda, let me ask you, because let's bring you into this conversation, because we were both financial advisors professionally decades ago. What have you used a financial advisor at all?
I have not. But I find this conversation very interesting, because one thing I have done is I have written a lot about the different types of financial advisors out there, and the fact that Pam kind of to take this a step farther, where she says, oh, well, they used to be called stockbrokers, now they're financial advisors. The term financial advisor can pretty much apply to just about anything. And there are no regulatory requirements for the use of that. I could call myself a financial advisor if I wanted, and nobody could really quibble with that. And there are lots of different folks out there that might use different terms, like financial coach or something like that. But when you look at it, really, the only real SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission designation out there that can give you an idea of who's regulated, who's doing what, is registered investment advisor, the RIA. And then if you look at everything else, whether it's certified financial planner, CFP, or chartered, you know, financial analyst, whatever it is you're looking at, those are done by outside organizations, by boards, and you have to meet some certifications to get those specific designations. But the name financial advisor can mean almost anything.
Right. So the way that I think about it is to organize it and to take a, let's take a drone's view. Let's fly over at a drone's view. There are about 500,000, give or take, individuals in the United States who self-identify as financial advisors as their occupation. 90% of them, 9 out of 10, work either for a brokerage firm or an insurance company. Okay, so they are truly sales reps for those companies. And again, it doesn't mean that they don't mean well or they don't offer good advice or have good strategies, but their first loyalty has to be to themselves and their firm. And then you've got 10% that leaves us with about 50,000 individual independent advisors who work at independent advisor, like you just mentioned, Miranda, the registered investment advisory firms. And they are held, believe it or not, as counterintuitive as it seems, they're held to a higher standard than the brokerage firms. The brokerage firms are there to sell products. The advisors are held to a higher standard because the advisors are supposed to be actually getting into the financial lives, into details, financial planning, estate planning, real estate, holistic planning, investments. Therefore, that's why the SEC says, okay, if I'm going to allow you to take your Series 65, which is a fairly simple exam, and you're going to register as an investment advisor and collect a fee from a client to give advice, we're going to hold you, at least we can do, is hold you to this higher legal fiduciary standard, which says you really have to put the client's best interests first. And that means that, you know, you selling products doesn't jive with that fiduciary standard. That's at odds. Because again, then you've got that conflict of, should I sell this investment product that's going to pay me a 3% commission on the back end? Or should I sell the one that costs nothing and I don't make anything? So that's why the SEC, you know, has basically laid down and said, this is the fiduciary standard. So this is not a profession, guys, right? It's not like the legal profession where you have a bar exam and then you have a license to practice. It's not like a medical, you know, you don't go through a set of exams and you don't get a medical license. This is an industry that really tries to position itself and pass itself off as a profession. So you got just what you just said, Miranda, you've got everybody in the kitchen sink in there saying, I'm an advisor. Oh, I'm a financial advisor. So it's up to you, the consumer. It's up to you know, just everyday people to figure out who's who and what's what. Now, this is where I draw the line in the sand. And I say that as a consumer, you have to pick a lane. Do you want a fiduciary advisor who works only and directly for you and you pay him a fee and everything's transparent? Or do you want to go to a brokerage firm or an insurance company to get advice? You have to make that decision.
Now, let's be clear here, too. Let's clarify for the folks at home. First of all, let me say this, too, to see if I can use an example to bring all this home. Now, when I was a stockbroker or a financial advisor, whatever you want to call me, I would give people advice. But it wasn't that I had no standards. I could literally rip people off, although there were people in my office who did do that. But you had a standard called suitability. I was required to put my clients into investments that were suitable. Now, fiduciary has to put the client's needs ahead of their own. Let me illustrate what that means with an example. Somebody needs a growth mutual fund. Or an ETF, something like that. So now, as a stockbroker, as a commissioned salesperson, as long as it's suitable, it doesn't matter whether it has a commission of 10% or zero. It doesn't matter because it's suitable. They need a growth fund. I'm going to give them a growth fund. Whereas a fiduciary would have to say, I've got to get this person the best fund at the lowest cost. I'm required to do that, even if it pays me less. So I just want to make sure everyone understands the difference between a commissioned salesperson and a fiduciary. And another thing too, Pam, that you just mentioned, but I want to reiterate this as well. The fiduciary is charging you a fee, just like a lawyer or a CPA. The stockbroker, the commissioned salesperson, isn't charging you a fee. They're making their money on commissions, some of which you'll see, some of which you may not. They may put you into a product that pays them a handsome commission, but that commission isn't necessarily easy for you to know. So the bottom line is, if they're not charging you a fee like a lawyer or a CPA, then you're probably paying a commission.
So
and that person is probably not a fiduciary. Right, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm walking down the beach. I'm on the Cape. I have a house on the Cape, and I was walking on the beach with two girlfriends, and one of them said to me, oh, you know, Pam, by the way, I just wanted to let you know, I know what you do with WealthRamp. And so I'm just so happy to tell you that I love my advisor. And this kind of caught me off guard out of the blue. And I said, oh gosh, Joanne, that's great. Fantastic. Who is it? And then she told me I didn't recognize the name. And I said, is he a broker or is he an advisor who's independent? She said, oh, I don't know. But he said he's a fiduciary. And I said, oh, good, good, good. Okay. Okay. That could mean, you know, a number of things. So we kind of kept walking. And then a minute later, she says, you know what I really like about him the most? She says, he doesn't charge me anything. I don't pay anything unless I'm making money.
No, no, no.
And it was all I could do, you guys. I couldn't say anything because I cannot have that discussion with people who don't know that. And I said, so all I said was, okay, so how do you think that he's getting paid? Now I know he works for a brokerage firm. I said, how do you think he gets paid? She said, oh, well, he gets a commission so that every time he recommends an investment to me, I like the investments, Pam. There's nothing wrong with them. It's not that he's sticking me in crappy investments. And he gets paid from that. I don't care. What do I care? I'm not paying him. And I said, so who do you suppose is paying the commission that gets paid back to the broker, the advisor?
What'd she say?
Crickets.
Yeah.
Because you don't make the connection because it's not transparent. And that is the difference between a profession and an industry. An industry can get away with that, whereas a profession would not be able to get away with that. There would be certain levels of lines they can't cross.
You know, I bet you're overpaying for your car and home insurance, and I bet I know why. Because you don't want to spend hours comparison shopping. If that's you, then do what I did. Use Gabby. Gabby takes the pain out of shopping for insurance by giving you an apples-to-apples comparison of your current coverage with 40 top insurance providers. I've done this myself. I went to Gabby, linked my current car insurance contract, and within a half an hour, I had a bunch of quotes. It was just that simple. And the savings? $546 just on my cars. I'm not alone either. Gabby says their customers save an average of $961 a year. Pretty sweet, right? If they can't find you savings like they did for me, they're going to let you know. So then you can relax knowing you've got the best deal. And they'll never sell your info, so no annoying spam or calls. Bottom line, don't overpay for car and home insurance. See how much Gabby can save you. It's totally free. Go to Gabby.com/MTN. Stands for Money Talks News. That's GABI.com/MTN. Gabby.com/MTN. Do it now. You're going to be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Well, we're going to go down this road about what you do, Pam, and what people should do when they're looking for advice. But let me take a step back. Miranda just said she doesn't pay for advice. She's never used an advisor. How can that be? Is it possible? Is Miranda stupid for not doing that? Or is she smart? She doesn't need an advisor. Mostly, I mean, do we all need advisors?
Mostly it's that I'm lazy. And I think part of it too is that, right, when I started my investing journey, technically speaking, I guess, if we're going to rewind a little bit, technically speaking, I did once have an investment advisor. It was my insurance agent who opened, like, everything I'm saying in this sentence should make everybody cringe, by the way. So when I was young, before I started writing about money on the internet, back when I was still like in college for my undergrad, and I was like, I should open an IRA. And I turned to my insurance agent to help me do so. As you might expect, I ended up in a actively managed fund.
Expensive.
With a 2% thing and with load fees and with all of the things.
Oh my God. How much all in, do you know?
So not a ton, honestly, because right when I first started, I just put in like a couple hundred bucks a month. And then after I started writing about money on the internet and after a few years, I realized, oh gosh, this is terrible. And so then I just did a, you know, direct transfer. I moved my money from that. And at the time, Betterment was blowing up, doing the thing. And I just moved my money straight from there into Betterment and moved on. But like so many people in the US at that time, I had no idea what I was paying in fees, what it was costing me, anything like that. And so that's, you know, today I have a much better idea. And my situation has got to the point where I've moved my money from Betterment, which I still love. I love Betterment. It's a great place to get started. But I've just kind of rolled my retirement account elsewhere, moving it into Fidelity. And so I just think that I think that it all comes down to just the fact that I haven't had a lot of need for that because I've just been able to say, well, I'm going to put this much toward my goals. I'm putting this much into retirement. But I am getting to the point now where I'm looking at my net worth and I'm looking at how my finances are becoming increasingly complex. And I'm thinking, maybe I do need an advisor, right? I mean, I've had somebody help me with my tax planning for several years now. I have a tax accountant. I have that stuff. But now I'm getting to the point where I'm like, maybe I should be thinking about, you know, pulling it together a little bit more. But yeah, for the most part, yeah. So I guess technically I have worked with a financial advisor in the past, but it was an experience that made me just be like, well, everything's pretty simple. I index. Mostly it's just either in my retirement account or in my like travel fund or whatever. And so it's not like I'm doing a lot, but now I'm starting to look and say, well, I need more of an estate plan. I have more complex finances
now.
You'll know when the
time is right. Right. Because, what I always said on my show on Money Track was, you know, listen to me now, listen to me then. I mean, I was always on the show saying, you don't need an advisor. You can do so much of this yourself. And then the audience, our viewers, boomeranged back to me after the last financial crisis in around 2013, after they hadn't gotten back into the market, after the stock market had already gone up and they missed the boat. And they were really boomeranging back at me and saying, hey, Pam, I know you're always telling us we could do it ourselves with a robo, but I don't want to use a robo. Life is complex. I've got issues. I've got real estate. I need to know about my cash flow going into retirement, or I have a child with special needs and I need a special needs trust. Ooh, help, help, help. And people kept asking me for names and I would say, oh my gosh, I can't give you just a name willy-nilly. I would have to make sure that they're vetted. I would have to make sure that their specialization aligns with what you need. What if you work for a startup and you have all kinds of restricted stock options and that's half your compensation? You can't go to a general financial planner. You can't go to a broker down the street to get the expert tax advice you need on those kinds of special situations. So it's complexity that drives the bus. Complexity will tell you when it's time for an advisor. And I'm never going to be the girl who's going to say, oh, you need an advisor. No, I'm the person who says, when you figure out that you need an advisor and maybe you've had a Miranda experience where you know you did it through someone who basically you wound up, you know, paying 8% of your money, you know, to a stupid commission and you're ready for a real advisor, I'm your girl. That's what I do with WealthRamp. I help people who are ready and know that they're ready for advisors. I don't try to talk people into needing an advisor or wanting an advisor.
Yeah. You know, let me throw in a couple of things here too, because I, like you, Pam, more currently, I advise people that they may not need an advisor. However, that means that you've got to take interest in what the hell you're doing.
Right.
And by the way, this is true if you do have an advisor, because let me tell you something. I don't care whether it's a fiduciary or not. Your money is more important to you than it is to anybody else on this planet. Believe me. So, you know, you always need to keep your eye on the ball. Now, you can have a pinch hitter, but you need to keep your eye on that ball. You need to know what the hell is going on with your money all the time. whether you hire a pro or not. Now, in my experience, you know, I advise people, and if you're putting $200 a month into your 401k, you don't need to pay somebody $1,000 a year to tell you what to do. I believe that's true anyway. But I think what you said is also true, Pam. When you get to a certain point, then, in fact, I'm almost there now, you know, because I'm 65 and I'm getting older and I've accumulated a bit of a nest egg. And so I've had something that was free. I got some free financial advice because of a firm that wanted to go through our company to, you know, get to our readers. They gave me a free financial plan. So I took it and it was useful to me. And I do this for a living. I've done this for 40 years and it was still useful for me to have somebody look at my stuff with an objective view and give me their advice, which coincided a lot with mine, but it still made me feel good to know that I wasn't wrong. You know, because this stuff is really close to me, and maybe it's good to have some objective advice from the outside sometimes. So I think having an advisor is a good idea. Just make sure you always keep, you're responsible for your own money at the end of the day.
Yeah. And the advisors who I vet, who I invite to participate on WealthWrap, we have 240 vetted fee-only fiduciary advisors who specialize in everything from financial planning to help younger people get started up through, you know, people who have $40 million and very complex, you know, family trusts and so forth. The one thing that they all have in common, Stacey, Miranda, is that they're collaborative. And that's what I educate, because everything I do with WealthWrap has to start with education. It needs to be a collaborative relationship. It's rare that I see a client say to the valet driver, oh yeah, take my car and just drive off with it and I'll see you next week. This is where you want to be, get where you're going. You want to be in the vehicle. You want to be in the passenger seat and you want to look through the same windshield as the advisor and you want to acquire knowledge and pick up new knowledge as you go, because what good is it if you're not going to learn as you go? And if you have an advisor who talks down to you or makes big presentations with impressive charts and graphs, that's not the right advisor, because your advisor needs to be able to meet you where you are and to have discussions that you actually enjoy having about what's going on, decisions you're making, because the relationship is long-term and it's dynamic. And the whole point of it, the whole end of the movie spoiler, let's reduce financial stress by getting a quarterback who I can communicate with really easily. And along the way, I'm getting smarter along the way. I don't care if you're 65 and you're saying, I don't need to learn anything. Yeah, you're going to learn as you go, and it's going to feel good because you're going to have more confidence because you're learning as you go. And it should be a relationship that's really enjoyable and that you really like the advisor. Not somebody that you dread, like, oh my God, I've got to have root canal and talk to my financial advisor this week. Both on par.
You got some great analogies going on there, Pam. I think we're going to call you the queen of the analogy. No. You know, that reminded me of one joke, and then I want to talk about WealthWrap. Okay. I decided I'm going to stop being so condescending. That means talking down to other people.
Thank you for mansplaining that.
Thanks, Stacey.
I should have known who my audience
was.
Thanks
so very much. Thank
you very little.
Okay. So, Pam, you've mentioned a couple. You mentioned WealthWrap in passing. Let's get down to the nitty gritty. You saw this need. What did you do? What does WealthWrap do? How does it work? How do we use it?
Okay. So after our viewers were screaming at me that they wanted financial advisors and why can't I give them names of good referrals who are fee-only and fiduciary, I shut down my TV series and I said, okay, I'm hearing this too much. So I thought it was going to take me about 2.5 years to curate a national network of advisors who I'm so OCD about it. I have to interview and look at the background records and vet every single advisor myself. So I figured I gave myself 2.5 years. Well, it didn't take me that. It took me 4 years. So here I am now, and we're totally rolled out. We're partnering with great partners like Gene Chatsky, who was on the Today Show as the money editor for years. And we are rolling out. I work with you, Stacey, and people are starting to get to know what we're doing. I've got 240 advisors. Each have been vetted. They all come with different specializations. I couldn't be prouder to be able to bring this service to people who I know, when they are looking for an advisor, that there's a big sigh of relief that they feel like, oh, okay, you know, they get a sense of who these advisors are. And I try to provide as much education about the experience as I possibly can. That's it. But it took me 4 years.
That's not easy. So imagine, I'm imagining at least a funnel, 500,000 advisors in the United States, only 50,000 of them are fiduciaries. And Pam's narrowed that down so that you can be sure that the person you're talking to is not only a fiduciary, but is a vetted fiduciary. And you can also look these up by location in case you want to get somebody near you. Is that right?
You, when you go through WealthMap, that's one of the criteria, is how close or how far do you care that your advisor is from you? Because one thing I'll say, I know we're kind of needing to get wrapped up, is when it comes to location, think about it. You probably do want to meet the advisor face-to-face at least, you know, once or twice, right? But so if someone says to me, oh, Pam, the advisor's firm is 2 hours in traffic away. Gee whiz, can I have somebody at the strip mall down the street? I say, no, hell no. I'm going to get you the best advisor. And if you have to drive there once in a year, the rest of the time, the advisor will come meet with you because they have clients all over the area. So they'll meet with you. So you got to stop and think about how many times are you going to get in the car and drive to see the advisor at his or her office versus meeting someplace that's much more convenient to you. And advisors who are independent will meet you in a place that's much more convenient for you.
One question too. That I want to clarify. When you have a fiduciary advisor, when you have somebody that's fee-based, these people aren't free. They're not cheap. I mean, you know, how much money do I have to make this worthwhile? If I've got 10 grand, are these people going to talk to me? Should I go to WealthRamp if I've only got 10 grand?
Okay, two quick examples. So my niece is 28 and she said, Auntie Pam, I want to buy a condo. I have $50,000. What should I do? I said, what you should do? Go on WealthRamp and get matched and go talk to a real financial planner. So that's exactly what she did. She came back and she said, oh my God, Jeannie charged me $250. I have a whole plan and a roadmap ahead. And she told me that I should think twice about buying the condo and instead do this. And so I've decided, Auntie Pam, I'm not going to buy the condo and I'm going to do this, 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 and this and build up my Roth IRA. Da, 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 da. That was $250. Now, somebody with a $500,000 portfolio for retirement, typical situation, not too terribly complex, is probably going to spend somewhere between $2,500 and $5,000 to get a very good, robust plan and get their assets managed all with an advisor relationship ongoing. So it can be a retainer fee. It can be charged as a fee of a percentage of the assets that are managed. But think of it as about 1%, Stacey. Not 1% plus all these other sneaky fees, 1% for financial planning and investment management. That's a guideline.
Okay. Let me ask you this question too, because I have to throw my own license into the mix here. What about going to a CPA? I'm a CPA. What about going to a CPA and just asking them a question or two?
Well, many of my advisors are CPAs. Most of my advisors have CPAs right in their offices. They'll work with either your CPA, or they will become your CPA if you want them to.
Well, I don't see how you can lose with WealthRamp. Oh, we forgot one thing that's really important too. It doesn't cost a dime. It's free.
It costs the advisor to be on my platform with a referral fee that they have to pay me from their pocket, but they only pay it when the client pays them. So Stacey and Miranda, if you went through WealthRamp and you had a good referral and a great relationship, and you're paying the advisor 3 months down the road, I'm going to get a referral fee at the point you're paying that advisor. And I like it that way because it pretty much helps me see that the relationship is off to a good start and it looks like it's going to be a good relationship. And then they have to pay me, but they're not allowed to change or bump up or adjust their fee to you just because they have to pay me a referral fee. That's not something allowed by contract. And I'm registered with the SEC as a referral service for advisors.
Cool. Okay. So now I've known WealthRamp for a long time. I've known Pam for a really long time. Miranda has heard none of this until today started. So Miranda, have Pam and I convinced you that A, you might consider at one point going to a fiduciary, and B, would you go to WealthRamp?
Yeah. I mean, I think WealthRamp sounds like a really, really good idea. So yeah, definitely something I'd consider. And like I said, you know, I mean, I'm looking at how I need to take the next step with my money. As Pam said earlier, you kind of know when it's time to take that next step, when it's time to say, okay, the robo advisor isn't doing everything I need it to do. I need a little bit more of a tailored approach. You kind of feel that, and you can kind of move forward from there. And so, yeah. And I think WealthRamp sounds like an amazing place to start. So I'm going to go check it out.
Cool. Do that. And this isn't a commercial WealthRamp either, by the way, guys. There are other services out there, but right. I've looked at several, and I actually do like WealthRamp. So if you're in the market, go there.
I think that you guys know that I'm the least salesy of them all. I'm on a mission, and my mission is a little bit bigger than just WealthRamp. It's my whole mission is to educate, and you know, we laugh and we joke, but the truth is that I've seen people lose their dignity because they've seen their life savings end up in investments they shouldn't have been in, and they feel stupid. I did stories on my show, on my series Money Track, week after week, and we met the victims of people who just were taken in one way or another, and it's demoralizing. And when it happens to you and you're in your 70s, or it happens to your parents, people are embarrassed to talk about it. They feel like idiots. They feel so stupid. And it's a serious issue. And we just got to stop treating people and who have saved and worked their butts off their whole lives to have a nest egg and treating them like they're a transaction. It's just got to stop. I mean, we really need to say, I respect what you've done to earn this money, and the least I can do is help help yourself the best you can. And that's the bigger mission.
Yeah. I'm feeling a little suicidal right now, but that was a good way to close. Let me close with this story. This is a true story. I was a branch manager for a very large Wall Street brokerage firm who will go unnamed. And my first manager's meeting, which was at a really fancy resort in California, they said they passed out to each manager in the room. There was about 15 of us. They passed out a quota of the that firm's internal mutual funds that we were required to sell in the next few months. And I put my hand up and I said, "You do realize these people worked their whole life savings for this money, and our funds aren't that good. We should be recommending the best investments for our clients, not the investments that make the firm the most money, right?" And the guy's like, "Well, sure, we should." Monday morning, they walked in my office and took my keys and fired me. And that's a true story.
Well, okay. I know we have to go. I'm going to say this one last thing. Here's another parallel with you and I. I too was a manager. And when I saw how many complaints I was getting from aggressive sales tactics coming from my crew, my people who were 60 brokers who answered to me, I look at my paycheck that month. And the more complaints, the bigger my bonus.
Well, there you go. There you go. Can somebody have a happy note that we can end this on? Because it is time for us to go.
Yes, we're all getting smarter. The internet makes everything easier. And we wouldn't even be able to have this conversation if it weren't for all the tools that are free and available to get yourself educated about what's out there. And guess what? There's great advisors out there.
Yay! That was awesome. Okay. Okay, guys. That's all we have for today.
Well, I mean,
kumbaya, my boy.
Well, I think that the positive note here is that, you know what? Yeah, we all make mistakes, and that's fine. I got my first investing experience through an insurance person, right? Through my insurance agent. We all make mistakes. And the important thing is that we can learn from them and do better next time.
There you go.
Right. Absolutely right.
And that's a great way to close. Okay, guys, that's all we've got for today. You want to dive deeper? Of course you do. We've got links to more info in our show notes. And remember, if your goal is to make more, spend less, and retire rich, your online home is MoneyTalksNews.com. And don't forget to check out Miranda's online home as well. That's MirandaMarquette.com. And Pam's, of course, is WealthRamp.com. Be sure to check it out. If you've got a question, comment, or topic you'd like to suggest, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at hello@MoneyTalksNews.com. That's hello@MoneyTalksNews.com. And one last thing, Subscribe to this podcast. Don't just sit there. It only takes you 2 seconds. It makes Miranda and me smile. It makes our mothers proud. I'm Stacey Johnson.
And I'm Stacey forgot Johnson. To unmute myself.
Let's try it again. I'm Stacey Johnson.
And I'm Miranda Marquette.
Thanks for hanging out with us, guys. We're going to see you right here next time.
Hey, money listeners, are you working in retirement? Is it by choice, necessity, or doing what you love? We want to hear your story and feature it on the podcast Money. Call 1-833-669-8557, then press 0 to leave your brief message. Call and ask a question, leave a story idea, or share a life lesson with everyone. We'd love to hear from you.